Welcome into the Pick Aside Podcast, a college football picks edition, week three on deck. Shane Orling, Tyler Aki with you as always. What's up, man? Are you ready?
Thursday night football, college week three. Isn't that crazy? We're already a quarter of the way through the college season.
I know. But you know what's interesting is, like, I don't know if this says more about me or more about the sport. I'm, like, not as into college football this year as I usually am.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's partially the week two matchups were so terrible.
I'm into this weekend.
I kind of checked out of it, and then I had to check back in this week. Obviously, I did well last week, but this week is much better. You get four top 25 matchups, so there are games you're going to want to watch all day. There's a lot of big brand games that are going to be fun. And the Thursday night football game is a fucking banger. So
yeah.
Like, this is a great week of football, but I just have found myself much more into the NFL than college, which has usually not been the case.
Is it just me, or do you not feel as football calibrated in college right now?
What do you mean?
In terms of, like, maybe this is more from a totals standpoint than a side, but I feel like I still need to get a little more data in the machine before I really feel good about some plays. And maybe it's me being a little more disciplined this year. I don't know. But I feel like I still need a little more data, like probably another week or two before I really can tell who teams are.
I think a part of it for me is not even like the gambling side or, dude, I think it's just I'm going to be 31 in November and my attachment to college football is waning as I get older. I really think that's a part of it.
You know what's funny is I've heard that from some people who are like in their 30s. They're like, yeah, like one of the first things to go in your sports fandom is college football, college basketball.
I know. And it's like college basketball is a little different because I think the health of the sport is better than it's ever been right now. College football, I don't feel that way. And I think part of it is like my team has given me shit for going on 10 years.
Okay.
I don't feel the passionate attachment that I had to it, but I will bet it. I will watch it. I still love like a Saturday. I sit down and all day I'm watching football, but my passion for it is diminished this year. And I think it's honestly just, I'm getting older and I have less free time as I get older. And every hour that I commit to prepping for a full card of college football is an hour I could have spent doing something else. Where I'm like, I don't feel the entertainment. Because we do this show, because we do College Tailgate, I'm into it and I'm like locked into it. But if I didn't have these things and I didn't feel like betting a bunch of college, I would not watch as much as I did when I was 22 years old. And it was wall to wall.
I feel like this is the darkest moment the show's ever had.
No, and I'm not even saying.
That felt like a very real, raw, and kind of dark moment.
It's where I'm at personally. I don't know. People probably don't give a shit, but it's just where I'm at personally with the sport. And I've been honest about it. Like, I don't love the fact that the portal exists and you get 3,000 kids going to different schools every offseason. And it feels like it's difficult to build a program because you get freshmen who care about the school that they play at, but maybe now they're only there because Dave Portnoy paid him $10 million. Like, do you think Bryce Underwood gives a fuck about Michigan football? He was going to LSU.
Speaking of that, did you see who the new richest man in the world is?
No.
Larry Ellison.
Oh, really?
He passed Musk.
Well, good for him. Good for Larry Ellison and good for Michigan football. I'm sure you'll get stellar players out of that money for years to come.
How about the money that's pouring in, by the way? You see the Illinois donation that came down this week?
Yep.
Boy,
I think
if that guy and Larry, because Larry Ellison went to Illinois, he just gave the Michigan gift for his wife. But like, if Larry Ellison and what's his name, like Ease or something like that, if they teamed up, they could probably donate $1 billion to that athletic department.
What's going to be interesting for me is if Michigan State ever gets serious about it and gets like $100 million influx from somebody that wants to just buy them a good football team, will I care? Because I think like, if you're an Illinois fan or if you're an Indiana fan or if you're a Michigan fan and you've seen the investment, Ohio State fans are as passionate as ever. I think a big part of it is my age, and another part of it is my team has just given me shit to care about. So I look elsewhere in college football, and I can't be passionate. I can have opinions on games. I can feel the way I feel, and I like talking about the playoff stuff and implications, but I can't be passionate about Alabama football. I don't care whether they're good or not. It doesn't make me feel anything. It just maybe influences if I have a little more or a little less in my bankroll. That's it.
Fair enough.
All right. So that's after out of the way.
That, little life lesson.
Yeah, Shay hates college football, so let's bet it. Because here's the deal. Last week, I didn't bet games. And I told you, I only had about 5-6 plays. I wanted to bet Duke, but thank you, JB Pritzker. I couldn't do it. This week's a little different. I am out of the cage with 9 bets and a potential 10th if you can twist my arm on it. And if it's on your card, that might be enough to do it. But we'll get to it.
You know what's funny is you texted me this morning and you said exactly that. And I said, yeah, kind of a light card for me this week in college. And
I just,
we were the opposite last week. I loved the board. You hated it.
Yep.
And I don't feel college calibrated right now.
I went through the board expecting to, like, I went through it early in the week and I started looking at stuff and I'm like, boy, it's another one where I just really might not bet that much. And then I started doing a little more deep dive on some games and a little deep dive on some of the bet data as it came in throughout the week. And it just was like, there are spots where I feel too good about it to not bet it. And I ended up on 9 games with a, I'll say probable 10th. I think you could fairly easily bully me into it.
Okay. I've got a couple leans that I'll need to be talked into, but...
But we'll start with, now that you know I hate college football and I miss my free time from the summer, we will start with Thursday night football in the NFL. Just give it a little bit of an extra shelf life if you're listening to this early. I love the Packers laying 3.5. I love them. I got them at 3. It was juiced, minus 120. I know nobody cares. For the pod purposes, I will track it at -3.5. You can find it.
You can find threes.
There are still threes out there. And if you're laying a 3.5, it's probably even money. So it's not like you have to pay to do it. But I love the Packers tonight.
Yeah, it's the side I would lean. I personally like the under in this game. I think you're going to be looking at like a 27-10 type of game, 20-10 type of game. Packers defense was elite last week.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. And on the flip side of that, the Packers are also dealing with a couple of offensive line injuries this week. So you could be without a couple of guys, or at a minimum, they're playing pretty banged up, which is not where you want to be at in week two, because it's not going to get better than where you're feeling after week one and week two. So I just think you're going to see Washington come out on a short week, having to travel. Green Bay, you don't have that. You get to be at home for back-to-back weeks. It's a nice little runway into the schedule for the Packers. So I really like the under in this game. 48.5 is a huge number. Yep. For a Thursday night game.
Yeah, and a part of it for me, like on the Packers side, is just the big picture that we talked about a little bit in the previews. I don't like this Washington team. I think they wildly overperformed last season. I think their line of scrimmage, really on both sides of the ball, lacks a lot. Offensive line-wise, I know you went out and added Laremy Tunsil, but he's one of the most penalized tackles in football over the last few years, and he was a part of a Houston offensive line last year that was maybe the worst unit in football. So I don't really upgrade you a ton on the O-line because you added him. And on the flip side of the ball, I don't think their defense is any good. You played Russell Wilson last week. You don't get that benefit now. This is Jordan Love. It's Josh Jacobs. It's an offensive line that has mostly been together. It's a quarterback who's familiar with all of his weapons. And frankly, their defense, look, I was at that game live. I saw it all. Their coverage, I expected to be the weak point of their team. It was so much stickier than I could have imagined.
You can do that when you have the pass rush that you have.
Exactly.
Now.
And I think that's like Micah Parsons is going to have a chance to bully tonight against Tunsil or against the right tackle if he lines up on that side. I just don't think it's an offensive line that's ready to contain him. Like the damage he did in the game last week playing only 29 snaps, it felt like he was on the field every snap because he was so productive in limited availability. I think the Packers might just be the best team in the NFL. And that might not be true come week 16, week 17, once other teams figure stuff out who they are, they improve, and maybe it's just early season Packers flying high. But I am more than happy to lay points with them while I respect them, and seemingly other people don't. There's still like a national refusal to admit the Packers are really good.
Yeah.
Like, there was this narrative all last week about Micah Parsons, he's actually washed, and his back is arthritic, and he's got to get an epidural. Will he be able to play? Oh, the Packers made their defense worse. Then they shut the water off on the Lions' run game, and the middle of their defense looked solid. offensively, they looked, now Jordan Love threw a couple bad passes, but they looked good offensively. I think they're fantastic. And early season, short week for Washington going on the road to Lambeau.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. It's going to be a rowdy environment there this early in the season. I'm all in on this Packers team. I don't know if I'm going to play it just because I think it can be a lower scoring game. So I'm not going to get there with the Packers. But I think you're looking at two offenses that frankly are a little inflated in terms of the public perception. Washington, I think coming off of a season last year that they were great, don't get me wrong, but I think you're going to be coming back to earth, had a little bit of luck swing your way last year. And the Packers, like, you've got names that I think are maybe a little bit better than people think are a little bit better than they really are. You've got depth at receiver. I don't think there's any stars. You've got like a bunch of average twos, I think.
Jaden Reed looked like a stud though on Sunday.
And he can be. He can be, but nothing about Jaden Reed to me has ever screamed one.
Yeah, no, I'm not telling you.
He's been a two.
I'm not telling you he's Justin Jefferson, yeah. But he looked like a really nice safety valve for Jordan Love. And I just, like you talked about, Washington got lucky last year. I think the Packers got unlucky last year. And those two things tend to be ships crossing in the night.
For sure.
So I'm going to be on the pack tonight. All right, let's go to college football. For me, it's going to start on Friday. And,
same.
And then we'll focus on really the big games on Saturday and whatever we have left over at the end. So I'm going to tell you, this might qualify as my degenerate play of the week. Last week it was James Madison. This week it's going to be the there is no bigger plug your nose game of the year than I am laying a point with Kansas State.
Interesting. I'm on the other side here.
Oh, fuck no.
We go to war. Here's what I'll get the rationale here. Like, first of all, how can you trust Kansas State as a road favorite right now?
I can't.
And I look at this Arizona team. They're ranked higher in S&P Plus data right now.
Yep.
They are the home team. It is a short week. Kansas State's been through the gauntlet travel-wise
yep.
to open the season in Dublin, come back from Dublin, then you're home for 2 weeks, and then you have this game against Arizona on a short week on the road. Like, I don't think all of this adds up very well. Noah Fafita's looked pretty good, albeit against weak competition for Arizona out of the chute here. I'm just riding with, I think there's a public perception that Kansas State is still a decent team. Like, if you're just a blind college football fan going into this and you see Kansas State and Arizona, oh, Kansas State, they were in the Big 12 title last year, fire it. Like, I think that there's still that perception of, like, Kansas State was a team that had preseason pedigree, and they are clearly far from that.
Yeah, I know. I just, and maybe I'm walking into it, but it really was like, there is no reason for me to trust Kansas State on the road. I don't like Avery Johnson. I don't like what they've put on tape this year. You lost to Army, mm-hmm. of all teams. Like, the Iowa State thing in Dublin's whatever, but then you lose to Army after looking like shit against North Dakota. How can I possibly trust you? And then you look at the number and go, hold on a minute. They're favored? And Arizona's a team I thought was horrible going into the season. So I just, it's a spot play for me where I'm like 1-2 favored on the road against a 2-0 team. And it's a team that just lost to Army, lost to Tarleton State. Mm-hmm. They are laying a point. I'm clipping my nose and I'm riding with the Kansas State Wildcats.
Gotcha. I just think that if you're really trying to bait people here, you're laying like a 2.5 or something like that.
Maybe, but I don't even think it's like a bait because not enough people are going to bet this game.
That's fair.
The books are like, oh, we can trap people here on this yeah. one. I'm trusting that the market is pricing it correctly, and I'm betting Kansas State. I might get clipped, and I'll feel like a fucking loser for mm-hmm. betting on Avery Johnson and a team that lost to Army. I was shocked by where the line sat, and it's a spot I'd like to typically go into. So I'm playing into it. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Good luck to you.
You as well.
All right. We go to Saturday, and I'm going to start with a sneaky game that I think people will want to watch because it includes a team we both loved as a national title contender. Mm-hmm. An ACC matchup against a really nice Brent Key team from a year ago that's kind of kept pace this year. Haynes King's been awesome. Mm-hmm. Clemson at Georgia Tech. And Clemson's laying 3. I don't have a play here yet, but you could talk me into one. Because tell me this isn't a buy-low spot on Clemson.
That's kind of how I felt. My lean is Clemson here, but I don't have a play on it either. It's the way I would go if you forced me to pick it. Like, this Georgia Tech defense doesn't generate a ton of pressure. They lost a bunch of guys from their line last year. And defensively, they're just kind of a mess right now. It's really been the Haynes King show for the Yellow Jackets early on in the season. So I do think Clemson's going to get a little healthier. You sat some guys out last week against Troy. I'm with you. I think this is the buy low spot on Clemson. I think the defense will be a little bit better, and the offense, just by being healthier, will naturally be better too.
Should we just walk into it?
Take the three, yeah.
This is the one. I said, right. I don't have a play yet, but you could bully me all into right. it. You could sell me on it and convince me that we should do it.
It is a road game, but like, this is an easy travel for Clemson fans. They'll invade that stadium.
It's a team we both liked. The look-ahead number was Clemson laying 9.
Yeah.
Look, the Troy game was horrid. And the loss to LSU, we both felt like was a coin flip. Mm-hmm. Clemson could have won. There were plays to be had. Do we really feel like Clemson is 6 points worse than we thought they were at the start of the season?
No.
I don't. And I'm a little terrified because it is a public side, but I can't believe that Clemson is really 6 points worse than they were to start the year.
Listen, I think Clemson's either going to win this game by 10 plus or lose the game outright.
And if they do, I won't. I like Georgia Tech. I like Brent Key. Like, frankly, I'd be okay losing this bet. But Clemson laying 3 at Georgia Tech is not a number that should have existed preseason.
No.
And that's kind of why I'm just going to bet it. I will put it on the card.
I'm not going to lie. Like, even if it was, if we had to pick the game, all right, with the preseason line, if we had to pick right now that Clemson minus 9, I'm still probably leaning Clemson.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, I think this is a bit of a market overreaction, and you'll see it sometimes when you're looking at college football. It's like, oh, this team sucks, so now we're just going to bet Georgia Tech or make Georgia Tech short because they look good and they've got Haynes King. And you can't totally overreact to results and move the opinion this far off of what you thought the team was to start the season. Like, don't forget, Clemson was a 5-point favorite in some spots against LSU.
Yeah.
You're telling me now that
three team in the country right now,
they're only laying 3 at Georgia Tech. I'm not ready to move off of the preseason bias enough that I can get on board with that number. So I feel like we're getting Clemson at a discount, and I'll bet them.
Yeah, I think this is like the rebound spot. Once they get one under their belt where they feel really good, then you'll start to see them cruising. This may be the best price you get them at.
This is also the spot where if they lose this game, the season's over, and that program has to seriously start looking at moving on from Dabo Swinney. Like, it's kind of a referendum, and it's just another reason to maybe bet Clemson is, like, Georgia Tech's got nothing to lose here. Yeah. Clemson's got everything to lose. Their season ends with a loss.
It's you'd be a 2-loss team, and you'd be a 1-loss in the whole ACC team, too. And in terms of, like, moral victories for the year, you're 0-3.
All right, I want to stick in the noon, 11 a.m. our purposes, the 11 a.m. kickoff window, because there is a brand matchup that I have to play on.
It's 11:15. Is when all these games start these days.
Not this one, because this one's on ABC, Fox Big Noon. If you call it Big Noon kickoff, kick the fucking ball at noon.
At least by 12:02.
I hate the idea, and the whole reason for it is, game day's still doing their picks, and people are watching that, so we gotta wait till they're done to do our picks on the field. Kick the fucking ball at noon. You say Big Noon, play it at noon.
Yep.
I get so tired of it every week. Sorry, I digress.
Really hate this fucking sport.
I do. This game will start at 11 a.m. sharp on ABC, two brands, and I'm maybe walking into something again, but I really don't think so. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa. Number currently in some places at minus 21. There's a 21.5 that just popped on what I'm looking at. I put this in at 20.5. I will tell you right now, 21.5, I'm out over 3 touchdowns. I think you lose any value that existed. Yeah. But at 20.5, I'm betting Alabama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the way I would lean to Wisconsin. Look, I think the reason for the number moving the way it is right now are the reports coming out of Madison that
they're not going to have their quarterback.
They're not going to have their starting quarterback in all likelihood. So you may have the Badgers without Billy Edwards Jr., but this Bama defense has to be vicious. Wisconsin's defense has been improved. I like under 46.5 in this game.
Interesting.
It's a really low number, especially because Bama has the capability to go out there and just put 40 up on their own.
Yep.
And then you get a Wisconsin touchdown and you're fucked. But I just think that you're going to see two defenses that really show up in this game. And it'll, I think you're going to be looking at like a 23-7 type game, but that's not going to be the real feel of how the game is. It's going to feel like Bama won by 30, 40 points.
Yeah.
But because of the way that the defense is played on both sides, you're going to find yourself under the 46.5.
My thought process was this feels like a 24-0 Bama win. Yeah. Like, I just, Wisconsin going to Tuscaloosa without their quarterback. And keep in mind, too, this is a Wisconsin offense. Luke Fickell wants to run an air raid. He ran an air raid at Cincinnati. He wanted to run an air raid at Wisconsin. He tried it for three seasons. It didn't work. And now he's being forced by the program to revert back to Wisconsin old school under center power run. Luke Fickell doesn't run that offense. Now you go on the road to a really good defensive team at Alabama. You're playing in Tuscaloosa. It's going to be loud. Kalen DeBoer needs this. I don't see how Wisconsin gets points on the board.
Yeah.
And I don't think Bama's scoring 40, but I feel like they can get me to the high 20s or the 30s, and I'm happy to lay inside three touchdowns.
Yeah. My Badger friends have tried to convince me to go road tripping with them.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Are you going to go?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, really?
It's tough to get down. Like, okay, first of all, I have to leave.
Where do you fly tomorrow. Into?
No, we'd drive.
Fuck that. I'm out.
I've driven to Alabama before.
I'm out. What? How long is it? Like 8 hours?
Well, we split it up. So we stopped in Louisville. I can't remember if we stopped in Louisville or Nashville. One of the two.
4.5 to Louisville. It's got to be an 8 or 9 hour drive at least.
Yeah, it's not bad. If you break it up over 2 days, it's not bad. Even 8 or 9 in one day. Like I'm used to doing 12. Because we would go visit all my relatives out east. And that was like 12, 13 hours. Plus you lose
11 hours is Tuscaloosa.
So yeah, I've done that before.
The problem isn't driving there and going to the game. The problem is driving back on an NFL Sunday. Forget it.
Well, maybe I shouldn't advise that where I was going to go.
But. Pop the thing on the dashboard and watch the games. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, it's going to be a Bama bet for me. I don't like anything that's going on with it. Luke Fickell would be a fired candidate this year, but they extended him. They're going to give him a couple years to implement the offense. I don't think this is the year that they want to be going to Tuscaloosa without their quarterback.
Yeah.
And Kalen DeBoer needing wins badly. So I'm going to lay the points with Alabama. Sticking with games you, the listener or viewer, will actually watch. Georgia-Tennessee, top 25 matchup. And you know what? Do you have a play here?
I actually like two things in this game.
Okay. I have a play on it, and I'm going to let you lead it off because I'm praying that we are not on opposite sides.
Okay. I think this is the first wake-up call for both quarterbacks. You got new guys coming in to both sides here. I get that Gunnar Stockton was there, played some big games for Georgia last year, but I just like the way that Joey Aguilar's looked early on in the season. You're at home. I like Tennessee plus the 3.5, and I also like this to be a lower-scoring game under 49.5.
Correlates, but we are on opposite sides. You're the second person who's told me I'm a fool for this. I like Georgia laying 3.5. Yeah. I think it's interesting that Tennessee, if you look at the bet data, Tennessee's getting more cash. It's perfectly split tickets, but most of the cash is on the Volunteers. So why are there 4.5s popping up? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just looking at the way it's moving.
Well, I think people look at Georgia as the better program.
What I would say is, if you want to bet Tennessee, I might wait till kick and see if I can get a 4 or 4.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet Georgia, and I don't feel great about it, but it was like, this was 7. It's another spot where this was 7.5 on look-aheads in preseason. And we've seen a lot of good from Tennessee, and we've seen almost nothing from Georgia. But remember, last week against Austin Peay, they know they've got a trip to Knoxville the following weekend. They're going to go vanilla. They know they can beat Austin Peay.
I would say this, though. The thing that worries me about Georgia is that through the first 2 weeks against Austin Peay and against Marshall, they're averaging 5 yards a carry on running the football. You should, against those two opponents, you should be more at like 7. Whether or not it's a scheme thing, it doesn't matter. You should be closer to 7 through the first 2 weeks, at least north of 6. And now you face an elite Tennessee run defense. And I look at the quarterback situation. I like the Tennessee side more. I look at the defenses. They're both elite, but I think there's a slight edge to Tennessee right now. And I look at the run games, and I give the edge to Tennessee. I see a lot of advantage Tennessee in this game, and you're going to play this game in Neyland.
I know. I'm on Georgia, and I don't feel really good about it, but it's a play I decided. It was like right on the edge for me. I made the number four myself, and I just like, doesn't it feel a little bit referendum for Kirby Smart too? This is a game the last two seasons that he loses. And if you do it 3 years in a row, it starts to become who you are. And then I'm not like taking anything away from Kirby, who's a national championship winner. He's built one of the best programs in the country at Georgia. Mm-hmm. But this feels like a game that might be a little extra. Tennessee's been a pain in the ass. It's a rivalry. And going on the road against a top 20 SEC team the last couple seasons, you think about the Alabama game last year, they don't win in this spot. Mm-hmm. And I just have a hard time feeling like that's going to be the case three straight years. Now, they might win by a field goal and I get fucked on the hook, but I just came away feeling like Georgia's the side to be on.
It's just, know. To me, it's like, at what point do you start to foresee a trend happening?
Sure.
Like, ever since the balance of college football shifted, we've kind of seen some of these big boys, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Bama, trip up in spots like this. So
yeah, it's fair. Boy, we are. I do not like how opposite we are.
Bad synergy on this Thursday.
We'll go an hour later to the 3:30 kick, another top 25 matchup. USF suddenly ranked 18th in the country with two top 25 wins. They beat Boise in the opener. They beat the shit out of Boise.
Yeah,
and then they won in Gainesville last weekend. Put Billy Napier back on the hot seat.
Biggest game in the history of the CW, by the way.
Yeah, no shit.
How do you think the execs there are feeling that they stumbled ass backwards into a top 20 matchup?
It's incredible. 18 USF going to Miami to take on what is now the fifth-ranked Hurricanes. This is my sell high of the year, probably. I'm laying 17.5 with Miami. I'd probably bet it out to 21. I think Miami throws USF in a fucking garbage game.
Yeah, because I think we were looking at this a week ago and said this is a look-ahead spot for Miami because Miami plays Florida in the next week. Yep. You're talking about a rivalry game. But now all of a sudden, this is the bigger game.
Yep.
I have no play on this. I would probably lean your side of laying the wood with Miami in 17.5, but USF just might be good and they can drag you into the mud and it's just a low scoring game.
Don't get me wrong, I do think USF is good.
Yeah.
I also think USF does not need this game. And I think there's an awareness to it. Like, not that they're gonna go out and punt it, but if things get really sideways, I don't know that USF's gonna have a ton of like oomph to get back into it and try to win because they've done the dirty work and they have every lane on the inside to get to the college football playoff. It's just handle your business in conference now. You're good to go. So
the way they're looking at it, though, they could see it as, hey, we can win a ranked game for three straight weeks to open our season. At that point, you probably lock yourself into a playoff spot.
If USF goes out and wins this game, they'll be deserving of being a top 10. Frankly, resume-wise, they'd be deserving of being the number one team in the country. Like, and that's not
three ranked wins out of the chute.
I'm not bullshitting anybody when I say that. They beat ranked Boise. They beat the brakes off of them. Mm-hmm. And then they go to fucking Gainesville and beat Florida in the Swamp, a top 15 team at the time.
Now you go to Hard Rock.
If you go on the road to Hard Rock and you ace number five Miami, they should be saying we're the number one team in the country. Mm-hmm.
You should be. I mean, you are in consideration for top five for sure.
I just have a hard time believing that's the case. And I feel like USF's running a little hot. There's a obvious letdown here after beating Florida in the Swamp. Now you go back out on the road and you're out-talented again. And in this situation, you're probably outcoached. I don't love Cristobal, but we have to be honest. The brain dead moments that he has, they define him to an extent in close games against really good opponents. But he has built Miami into a very good football team.
Well, yeah, and like a brain dead moment is not going to be the difference in a 17.5 point spread.
Right.
It'll be a difference in a game, in a 3-point game or a 6-point game.
And if that's the case at that point, I've already lost the bet and I'll be rooting for USF anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, just at that point, just win.
Yeah.
But this reeks of a game where everybody gets a little high on the Bulls and they get thrown in a fucking dumpster.
Yeah. I'd lean your way.
All right. We'll go to the night slate. Two top 25 matchups. I think they're both excellent. Texas A&M on the road at Notre Dame kicks us off. 6:30 on NBC. Notre Dame off a bye. Back home in South Bend. It'll be a rowdy crowd. Notre Dame knows they need to win it, and you get the spread just inside of a touchdown. I'm laying 6.5 with the Irish.
Okay, you talked me into it because that's the way I wanted to go. You know, it's funny. Out of the chute when I was looking at this game, I wanted to go under. Mm-hmm. And I'd started to look into it a little bit. I was like, you know what? These defenses are not as good as they were last year. Yep. I think this was like a 23-13 game last year. They're not as good as they were last year. A&M specifically, I mean, they've allowed 20-plus points to two teams outside the top 90 in S&P Plus rankings in UTSA and Utah State. So I would go that way. You get Notre Dame back at home. This is the weird thing, too, about Notre Dame. They're coming off of a bye.
Yep.
In week two.
Yep.
And I don't know if you remember how they were after they lost to NIU last year, but they kicked teams' asses after that. I think after that was the Purdue game, and they beat them like 66-3.
Dude, they were 10.5-point favorites against Purdue. I went back and looked because I just wanted to make sure. They were 10.5-point favorites against Purdue. I bet Purdue in the game, and it was like 67-0 at the end. Like, Marcus Freeman off a loss does not just beat you. He takes your fucking soul.
Fucking trucks, yeah.
And they've had an extra week to heal up from a physical Miami game and get ready for this spot, fix the problems they had defensively. I imagine they'll give more carries to Jeremiah Love. Yeah. They won this game last year at Kyle Field. Now you're playing in the shadow of touchdown Jesus. I got no issues laying 6.5. I think they could win by double digits, if not three touchdowns.
Yeah, I totally agree with you here. And the other thing, too, with coming off of the bye, last year they were fantastic off of bye weeks. Yep. I don't know if you remember them, but last year off the bye, they won by 42 against Stanford and 49 against FSU. Now, I get those two teams couldn't put together an all-star team that could even rival what Texas A&M has right now. But that's just to show you, Marcus Freeman with a week of prep, an extra week of prep, a little bit of time to lick your wounds. And it's not like they played bad against Miami.
No.
You were on the road and you lost a field goal game.
And there were just, it was a couple bad plays. Like, you had a safety trying to play the football instead of trying to play the receiver or swat the ball down. And it turns into maybe the catch of the year.
Yeah.
And that ends up being the difference in the game. That stuff that with a bye week, you correct it. You go through the tape, you go through your practices, you're feeling a little better. I think it's a bad spot for Marcel Reed at A&M, the new quarterback, to be going on the road to South Bend. It'll be a rowdy crowd. Those Catholics get crazy. I love Notre Dame in the spot.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite play of the week in college.
All right, you've talked me into it.
Now, the next night game and the last really big, immensely watchable game on the slate for the weekend, Florida-LSU. I think there's only one way you can do it. And boy, do you have to clip your nose about it. But you got to bet Florida if you're betting this game.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yep. It's the way I would lean. I don't think I'm going to end up playing it. I just think, like, USF might be good, so that is what it is. DJ Lagway going to Death Valley worries me. Now, he did go to Neyland last year in Knoxville, and it was just an ugly game that they lost in overtime to Tennessee. He didn't play great. Actually, he played poorly, 98 yards on 17 pass attempts. But you lose the game in OT, you at least kept your team in the game, and maybe this can be that same thing. He's already had an experience like this. So can he go back and try to replicate that and just get into the big game environment and acclimate himself early? And if he does, I think he can hang in this game. It's not like Florida's not talented.
No, they are talented. They're
probably just as talented as LSU, but there is a discrepancy at quarterback.
Yeah, and the whole difference, like, LSU's 3 in the country right now, built off of resume and preseason bias, which is fine. They won the Clemson game. They've played really well to start the year. Mm-hmm. Was a little bit of a look-ahead spot last week against Louisiana Tech. They took their foot off the gas. I'm fine with it. Florida, I think I can apply the same logic. They're a wildly talented preseason team with one of the one of the best quarterbacks in the country in DJ Lagway. If this was a Florida win last week, I think is probably more in the 5.5-5 range. And I think that's kind of where it should be, even after what happened last weekend, because you have to factor Florida does not enter the USF game feeling like it's a game they can lose. They enter that game feeling like this is a get ready for LSU game. Mm-hmm. And they got it. That'll happen to people.
Yeah.
But if you take an honest appraisal of, like, maybe Florida was looking ahead a little bit last week to this game, and now they desperately need it to keep their goals alive, for Billy Napier to keep his job, if you're betting LSU, all the luck in the world to you, and maybe they are just a juggernaut with Nuss and they'll be the best team in the SEC and go win it. I am betting Florida, and it's the only way I would ever bet the game.
Yeah, and you're on the right side of a touchdown, too, with the Florida play. Like, I'm with you. I think I lean LSU. Maybe I'll get there, or I lean Florida, rather. Maybe I get there by the time we get to kickoff, but for podcast purposes, staying away.
Fair enough. A couple other plays that I have in the leftover stuff, and a couple games that I just wanted to talk through with you a little bit.
Yeah.
So for leftover stuff, Missouri hosting Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns.
All right.
Missouri is a 27.5 point favorite, just inside of 4 touchdowns. But at that point, like, you're not,
yeah,
it's not like a 28 is a key number. Mm-hmm. Missouri's got South Carolina next week.
We're in the look ahead portion of our.
Exactly. Quiz. It's what I said we needed to do a little better last week, and we missed. I felt like if we had really been paying attention, taking Louisiana Tech against LSU would have been reasonably obvious. Taking points with Austin Peay against Georgia would have been reasonably obvious.
Yeah.
You're never going to win the game, but Georgia doesn't give a fuck about that game, and they will take their foot off the gas. It does nothing to them to just blow out Austin Peay and put a bunch of stuff on tape right before they play Tennessee. Same deal with LSU. I'm taking the same approach now with Missouri. You're at home against Louisiana, and next week you host Lenora Sellers. Go up 14-0 early, just play game control, and get out of here with a win.
Yep.
You don't need to worry about putting a bunch of stuff on tape that Beamer can see and take advantage of next week. Just run your offense, get up early, control the game, and get the hell out.
Yep, get out healthy.
So I'm going to play Louisiana plus 27 against Mizzou.
I like the spot there.
I also have...
I think we're going to overlap on this one. I like this one a little more than Temple, Oklahoma. Is that on your...
It's not, actually.
Okay.
It's a game I wanted to talk through with you because of the look-ahead aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little scared off by some of the bet data. Temple,
by the way, this number has plummeted. It started at, I think, 24.5,
yep,
and has already dropped a field goal to 21.5.
That's what scared me, is everybody is on Temple. And I thought it might be a spot where Oklahoma, coming off the big win against Michigan, made John Mateer the Heisman favorite. This is a spot where, like, public people are going to go, Oklahoma's really good, let's buy in. No, everybody's betting Temple. And I don't want to be on a public dog ever, pretty much. So I looked at it, and I know it's the right side of a hook on 3 touchdowns, but I couldn't. I know it's a look ahead spot for Oklahoma, but it's also a road game. I don't know how real Auburn is. I don't know how real Oklahoma thinks Auburn is. And it's an SEC game that's important to win. This game, I get you could talk your way into a look ahead. The bet data scared me off of it.
Interesting. I still think the road aspect, who the fuck scheduled this game?
I know, it's bizarre.
Right? How did this end up that you are going
to How much Temple? Is Temple paying Oklahoma to take a trip to Philadelphia?
Like, what are we doing here? It just feels odd. It feels like one of those games. I'm not going to go out and outright pick it, but are we talking about this next week? Like, whoa, Temple got paid how much money to for this game?
And beat them?
And beat them? Like,
it does feel a little NIU Notre Dame, doesn't it?
Why are they going to Philly? It makes no sense. I'm not here to talk you into a play. I'm just letting you know I'm playing Temple.
Good luck, man. I don't need 11 bets. And I didn't feel good enough to put it on the sheet.
And this isn't one worth, if you're tacking on. This isn't a tack-on play.
It's the same way, like we talked about Texas Tech and Utah as potential look-ahead spots. I feel the same way about Texas Tech against Oregon State, partly because Oregon State's bad. I think Oregon State knows that they're bad. Mm-hmm. Next week is their Super Bowl. Next week for Oregon State is the Civil War.
Yeah.
So as much as I feel like it could be a look-ahead for Texas Tech where they just power down at home, I also feel like this could be a spot where Oregon State lays down and dies because they just want to be healthy enough to have a shot in the Civil War.
Yeah.
It's the only game that's meaningful on their schedule the rest of the season. Utah, I didn't even really give a serious look at Wyoming.
I don't dabble with those ones.
It's a weird one where you get two altitude teams both staying at altitude. Yeah. Wyoming's horrible. And Utah, like, they're just not a program that dabbles in doing a bunch of funky exotic shit on offense anyway. They're gonna run out there in a Kyle Whittingham offense and try to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
And they probably have the talent to do it. I'd never lay the wood with them, but I couldn't work myself into betting Wyoming either. I have two other plays.
Okay. I have one more.
Let's go play for play. Backyard Brawl.
All right.
2:30 Pitt at West Virginia. I'm going over 57.
Okay. That's fun.
I like the game. I want to root for points. I think Pitt is sneaky, really good. I almost got there on a Pitt minus 7, but I didn't like laying a full touchdown in a big rivalry game, especially West Virginia coming off what was a pretty clear look-ahead loss to Ohio. West Virginia, I think, is terrible. Pitt, I think, is really good, but that's where you get yourself in trouble. Oh, really good team going on the road against really bad team. Just lay the 7 points. Now, this is a huge rivalry. It matters to both sides. West Virginia will give their best punch. I like this to be a high-scoring game.
All right. I'll trust your rationale there. I didn't do a lot of digging on that one. I was like, oh, backyard brawl week.
The pushover was no one wants the over. 9% of the bets, 10% of the cash.
That's always fascinating to me in like big rivalry games.
Yeah, everybody's
local rivalry games.
Well, let's just bet the under. It's a big number. Nobody wants it. I'll happily bet an over. And then the last bet is the late night, formerly Pac-12 After Dark, but in this case ACC After Dark. Minnesota going to Cal. Cal is a 2.5-point home dog. Cal is winning the goddamn game. Give me the Golden Bears.
This was not on my radar, but you may talk me into this one.
Minnesota's horrible.
Oh yeah. They're bad.
PJ Fleck has just not done a very good job. He's been there for a decade. It hasn't worked at any level. Cal might be kind of good. They have a fun quarterback. They have a fun offense. And you're giving me 2.5 at home against a Big Ten team going out west for a late night kick. I am more than fucking happy. And as a little teaser, because this is going to be a spot I'm going to want to play all year. When Michigan State goes out there for an 11 p.m. Eastern kick to play USC, I will be betting on Lincoln Riley's team.
Right.
Just know that.
Big Ten After Dark. I like it. I like it. That's a good spot by you on Cal. I like that play. I'm going to kind of go the opposite on you here. I'm going to go to Purdue and USC in West Lafayette.
Fuck, that's disgusting.
It's going to be a gray one out in Indiana. Purdue, a 20.5-point dog, and I'm going to take Purdue plus a 20.5. Purdue is not a good team.
No, they're
USC
poor.
Might be all right. But Purdue can run the ball a little bit, shrink this game down, and USC, a team that's not very good in the trenches on either side of the football. And this stat about USC last year, traveling east, USC was 0-3 straight up, and the games were decided by 3.7 points per game. I just think it's a travel spot. It's a spot play. It's a geographical play here. Is USC really going to get up for Purdue?
No.
So
sleepy-ass West Lafayette, too? No
yeah,
shot.
In September, give me Purdue plus 20.5.
And again, like, USC going up against Purdue, who's the more... Not scary, it's not the right word, but who's the opponent you're more concerned about if you're USC? Is it Purdue or is it Michigan State?
Michigan State, for sure.
There's a chance USC powers down late with a big lead, mm-hmm. and you work your way into a 3-touchdown cover. I don't hate that at all.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a 10-point game.
Yeah, and USC, Lincoln Riley has inspired zero confidence in me. I know Jaden Mayav has played well so far to start the season, but against who?
Yeah.
Now you're going on a conference game. You got to go all the way to the East Coast. Not East Coast, but Eastern time. Like, it's just, I'm fine with it. It's not a play I'd have, but I'm fine with it. I've got 10 bets. I've got more than enough in college football this weekend. And frankly, I am scared. I've had a good start to the year. I'd like to continue a good year. And I'm a little nervous about the number of games I'm betting. But I'll just quickly recap my card. My D-gen play of the week. Unfortunately, you and I are going against each other. Kansas State laying 1 at Arizona. Then on to Saturday, Bama laying 20.5. Clemson laying 3. Over 57 in the backyard brawl. Georgia laying 3.5. Louisiana plus 27 at Mizzou. Miami laying 17.5 at home against USF. Florida plus 7.5 in Death Valley at night. Notre Dame laying 6.5 at home against A&M. And Cal late night plus 2.5 against Minnesota at home.
All right. And then you like the Packers tonight as well.
And the Pack on Thursday. I love the Packers. Packers probably are my favorite play of the week so far.
I'm going to go under 48.5 in the Packers Commanders Thursday night football game. We are going head to head. I like Arizona in the Friday night game against Kansas State. We're taking Clemson. I'm going under 46.5 in Bama and Wisconsin. Temple plus 21.5. I'm tailing you on Cal plus the 2.5. Purdue plus 20.5. Tennessee and under in the Georgia-Tennessee game. Where else am I going here? And that is all.
Short card for you, big card for me. We've got NFL picks coming your way tomorrow on a fascinating NFL Sunday. Yeah. A lot of short spreads, a lot of games, frankly, I don't know what to do with. I'm going to make the card live on the show tomorrow. Okay. I'm going to talk through the games with you and see where I want to land on stuff. I have leans already. I did my pick five, but I'm going to talk through the games I actually want to bet with you, and I'll make my card on the show because I think it's a fascinating weekend.
I did not like a lot at first glance. Was not a fan of the card this weekend.
Dogs are barking in the noon slate. I'll tell you that much.
All right.
I think. We'll get to it. An NFL episode drops tomorrow. It is the Pick Aside Podcast. And please remember, on YouTube, rate, review, subscribe, leave a comment. It really does help us. So if you like the content that we put out, do us a little favor. Help us out on the YouTube side. YouTube.com/@ESPN. @PickAsideESPN.
Costs you nothing.
Yeah, it's free. Everything we do is free. It's great. Mm-hmm. We could be like Red Zone and charge you and then slap ads on our shit too. But we'll just do this for free. So if you want to help us out, please, that's the best way to do it. Wherever you get your podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. YouTube, rate, review, leave a comment, subscribe, all of it. It really does help us out. Thank you for listening. As always, Shane Orling with Tyler Rocky. It's the Pick Aside Podcast.